Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. I have Swade at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's guest, Judd Garrett, author of No Wind, with his latest, Defending the Indefensible. It'll be the Duke. In the second hour, Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. His latest, Big Business is funding Americans' killing of their kids and then replacing them with aliens. All right. Interesting story. Well, before I get into the straight news, I'd like to give you this one, The Death of Woody Williams. Herschel W. Woody Williams was a 21-year-old Marine Corps corporal when he watched from the bloody, ashy beaches of Iwo Jima as the Stars and Stripes rose atop Mount Shirabaki, February 23, 1945. Captured in a Pulitzer Prize-winning photo, the scene became one of the most images of World War II and the inspiration for the Marine Corps War Memorial near Arlington National Cemetery, a monument of American heroism cast in bronze. Mr. Williams was remembered for another act of heroism that day, one for which he received the Medal of Honor, the nation's highest military award for valor. Armed with a flamethrower, he braved hours of unremitting enemy fire to take out seven pillboxes where the Japanese had hunkered down to repel the U.S. invasion of the island. He was one of 27 Marines and sailors to receive the Medal of Honor for their actions at Iwo Jima, where 7,000 members of the service died in the bloodiest battle in the history of the Marine Corps. He was one of 472 American service members to receive the medal for their service in World War II, and was the last of them to survive. Mr. Williams died June 29th at a hospital in Huntington, West Virginia. He was 98 years young. His death was announced by the Woody Williams Foundation, a nonprofit organization that serves Gold Star military families, and by the Congressional Medal of Honor Society. The cause was not immediately available of his death. A farm boy became a fearsome warrior at Iwo Jima, and he did it with a flamethrower. Mr. Williams received the Medal of Honor from President Harry S. Truman, October 1945, months after the Japanese surrendered, marked the end of World War II. He regarded himself as only a caretaker of the award, which he said belongs to more Marines who did not come home. President Harry S. Truman awarded Mr. Williams the Medal of Honor in 1945. Home for Mr. Williams was a dairy farm in West Virginia where he was born, Herschel Woodward Williams, in a small community of White Dell on October 2, 1923, and he weighed 3.5 pounds at birth. His mother assumed she would lose him, like several children that she had lost in the 1918 influenza pandemic. Mr. Williams was 11 when his father died of a heart attack. To support himself and family, he joined the Civilian Conservative Corps during the Depression before driving a taxi, at times delivering telegrams to the families of soldiers killed in the early days of the U.S. involvement in World War II. Two of his brothers served in the Army. Their service was not enough to entice Mr. Williams to the branch. He disliked the Army's old brown wool uniform, the ugliest thing in town, he told the Washington Post decades later, and much preferred a Marine dress blues. Mr. Williams tried to enlist in the Corps after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, 1941, but he was turned away because he did not meet the 5'6", the minimum height requirements. Months later, the service loosened those requirements, and Mr. Williams was accepted. He participated in the invasion of Guam, 1944, before landing the following year at Iwo Jima, where he encountered a scene for which nothing in his previous experience had prepared him. Quote, all the jungle cover had been blown away, author Pete Collier wrote in the book Medal of Honor, Portraits of Valor Beyond the Call of Duty. The beach became a slaughterhouse. The invasion of Iwo Jima began February 19, 1945. Mr. Williams landed 2 days later. 2 days after that came the flag raising at Mount Suribachi, captured by AP photographer Joe Rosenthal. Quote, "The Marines around me started yelling and screaming and firing their weapons into the air and jumping up and down," Mr. Williams recalled to the Virginia Pilot, 2011. "I really couldn't figure out what was going on," he added, "until I looked up the mountain and there was Old Glory flying." The sight helped push Mr. Williams forward into the crucible that he was about to face. He had limited memory of the battle, he said, which took the lives of his best friend and two men sent to cover him. But his medal citation describes a display of courage that was directly instrumental in neutralizing one of the most fanatically defended Japanese strong points encountered and encountered by his regiment. In one moment, Mr. Williams crawled on his stomach to reach the top of a pillbox, struck a flamethrower nozzle down a vent pipe, and squeezed the dual trigger, killing Japanese soldiers firing on his fellow Marines. "He remembered that perhaps too well," he said in an interview with the Post in 2021. But when his Medal of Honor citation was read 8 months later as Truman hung the blue ribbon around his neck, Mr. Williams said he did not recognize other details in the account of his actions as if they referred to someone else entirely. The flamethrower fuel provided only about 72 seconds of trigger time, and Mr. Williams returned repeatedly to replenish his weapons as he opened a path for the infantry through Japanese fortifications and mines. He says he could not remember any of those trips. "And that bothered me all my life," he told the Post. "If you make up your mind you're not going to remember something, you won't remember it, and apparently I did that." He was wounded by shrapnel, received decorations that included, in addition to the Medal of Honor, the Purple Heart. He attained the rank of Chief Warrant Officer 4 before pursuing a career with which is now the Department of Veterans Affairs, where he spent years as Veterans Service Representative while also running a horse farm. And Mr. Williams' wife, Ruby Meredith Williams, she died in 2007. They had two daughters, Travie Jane and Tracy Jane, and several grandchildren, but a complete list of survivors was not immediately available. To the end of his life, the last surviving Medal of Honor recipient from World War II kept his kitchen several vials of sand from the beaches of Iwo Jima. And thanks to Alex Horton contributing to this report and filed by Emily Langer. Emily Langer, by the way, reporter for the Washington Post obituaries desk. She writes about extraordinary lives in nation and international affairs, science, arts, sports, culture, and beyond. Well, in other news, U.S. military recruiting sinks thanks to the woke nonsense. Isn't it wonderful how these two go together? It appears that the U.S. Army has adopted a new slogan, "Get woke, go broke." How else does one explain the Army coming up 60% short of its requirement goals this year with the Army's embrace of woke critical race theory? A lot of young qualified Americans are asking, why would I want to join a military that demonizes the very nation I would be serving? Apparently, many individuals have raised this question and decided not to sign up. Military recruitment efforts have taken a nosedive. In fact, it's gotten so bad that the Army has eliminated its mandate that potential recruits have at least a high school diploma or a GED certificate. Oh, you know what? It's not just the Army. Every branch of the United States military has seen recruitment numbers drop. Wokeness preaches hatred of country, not love of country, which is necessary requisite when asking people to be willing to sacrifice their lives. Well, interesting story here. President Vladimir Putin has raised the stakes in economic war with the West by signing a decree to seize full control of the Sakhalin 2 gas and oil project in Russia's Far East. And this is a move that could force out Shell and Japanese investors. The decree signed yesterday creates a new firm to take over all rights and obligations of Sakhalin Energy Investment Company, in which Shell and two Japanese trading companies, hold just under 50%. The five-page decree, which follows Western sanctions imposed on Moscow over its invasion of the Ukraine, indicates the Kremlin will now decide whether the foreign partners can stay. A state-run Gazprom already has a 50% plus one share stake in Sakhalin 2, which accounts for about 4% of the world's liquefied natural gas, LNG. And the move may unsettle an already tight LNG market and raises the risk of facing Western companies that are still in Washington. Now, for you sports fans, especially on the West Coast, a very interesting story I ran across. If you are ready for this, okay, the colleges USC and UCLA are leaving the Pac-12. What do you think of that? That's right. And they're headed for the Big Ten, which will happen in 2024. John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, first reported the universities were in talk of joining the Big Ten. The move slated for August 2nd, 2024, for the two Los Angeles-based universities comes on the heels of Texas and Oklahoma leaving the Big 12 for the SEC. It is the latest shakeup in the World College Athletics, which has been undergoing a massive transformation in the past few years. Texas and Oklahoma will officially join the SEC no later than 2025. The departures of Texas and Oklahoma spurred the Big 12 to add BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF. Those schools will officially become Big 12 members July 2023. In addition to prominent schools switching conferences, the one-time transfer rule passed in name, image, and likeness are now permitted for athletes. Ultimately, the Big Ten is the best home for USC and the Trojan athletes as we move into a new world of collegiate sports. That was U.S. Athletic Director Mike Bone. We are excited that our values align with the league's member institutions. Now, the loss of USC and UCLA is a massive blow for the Pac-12, and it further distances the Big Ten and SEC from the rest of the FBS conferences, particularly on a financial level. You know, and as I saw this story, listener, I was thinking, boy, I bet there's a lot of teams, a couple anyway, that are thinking, how in the heck did they get, you know, to go to the Big Ten when we keep winning? I don't know. But anyway, I'll put that aside there. Yes, sir. Hey, a reminder. Yes, COVID-19, they say, is far from over in the eyes of the Biden administration as they go into the 2020 general election. We kept telling you, right? Yep. Within 48 hours, Pfizer, BioNTech announced that they've got a new agreement now with the U.S. government. Stand by. It's coming because, well, some more elections, that's why. A note here on July 4th, Monday, we're going to have the best of and talk back. Alex Newman and also Leo Homan, two of our big stars. So you don't want to miss that Monday, July 4th. We're going to be right back with Judd Garrett.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask,
Could I have EPI?
Sponsored by AbbVie.
Hi, this is Fred Dwyer talking about my favorite Italian restaurant, Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in downtown Fullerton. A fantastic place to eat. Come inside and dine in our Italian town square, complete with a 10-foot Christmas tree. That's right, 10 feet. Enjoy our food made from secret family recipes. Pasta, chicken, seafood, salads, and our delicious pizza. Incredible desserts, including my favorite, the tiramisu, flown directly in from Italy. Feel the spirit at Angelo and Vinci's, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton, California. Call 714-879-4022 or visit angelosandvincis.com. That's angelosandvincis.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN. Want to welcome my guest, the one and only Judd Garrett. After 6 years as a professional football player, including with the 1993 Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys, he began a 12-year coaching career with the Saints, Dolphins, Rams, and Cowboys. Served another 12 years as personal executive with the Cowboys. Judd has written two screenplays, a frequent contributor on the topics of sports and politics, to Real Clear Politics, and No Wind. That's his first published novel, available at Amazon. And Judd is married and the father of six children. Hello there. How are you, Judd? Welcome back.
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Well, the father of six children, and you dare write something on Roe versus Wade? Boy, if somebody has qualifications and the credentials to do it, I think I have the right guy. Your latest, Defending the Indefensible. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court decision. Excellent story, I'll tell you. Well, all of yours are, and I got to stop bragging so much because it's, you know, it's embarrassing for you, I know, yes.
Yeah. No, but, so, yeah, but being a father of six, I've seen a number of ultrasounds. I've seen a lot of babies inside the womb, unborn babies inside the womb, and it's, even from 9 and 10 weeks after conception, it's very hard for me to look at that and say, that's not a human being. That's not a living human being worth protecting. So, being a father of six, I get some pretty interesting insight into this whole issue.
Yeah, you know, and in this report, it kind of surprised me whenever you brought up the name of Bill Clinton. You know, you would automatically, if you're like me, because I'm unfortunately that way, I guess, I'm thinking any time I hear about Hillary or Bill Clinton, I know it's got to be negative and I'm not going to like it. But he had a position on abortion, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, his position, you know, and I think a lot of people, you know, most of the pro-choice people were on board with it. He said that he wanted abortion to be safe, legal, and rare. You know, and you know, as I wrote, I mean, it makes sense for someone who's pro-choice or pro-abortion to want abortion to be safe and legal. But, you know, I took a little bit of issue with the use of rare. Obviously, I want it to be rare because,
yeah,
you know, I'm pro-life. But if you know, if abortion is just the removing of innocuous cells, if it's not the taking of human life, then why do we need it to be rare? Why can't it be done as often as possible? So I think he was admitting something there without actually admitting it, that abortion is more than what they're trying to make it out to be, you know, the people on the left.
And then you've got Stacey Abrams, Georgia gubernatorial candidate, far-left activist, and she's saying that she thinks, believes in your article, that abortion should be legal all the way up to the birth. And abortion is a medical decision. Yeah, I don't know a single woman who reaches the stage where the decision is easy. Maybe at times a medical decision is absolutely necessary, and I don't know. I don't know that much about it, but I don't think it's that frequent.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, in some cases it can be a medical decision, especially if the life of the mother is in jeopardy. But the thing that I take issue with, again, she says, you know, I don't know of a single woman who reaches a stage where this decision is easy. And they've been telling us that abortion is not the taking of human life, that it's the equivalent of removing benign cells from the mother. So why would it not be? I mean, why is it a difficult decision? Why wouldn't it be an easy decision? If it's not the taking of human life, where is the moral dilemma? And I brought up, you know, a while back I had some precancerous mole removed from my hand. They basically were removing, you know, innocuous cells from my body. I did not have a moral dilemma there. That was an easy decision. The doctor said, hey, these are precancerous cells. They need to be removed. I said, go ahead and do it. There was no moral contemplation on my part because I knew exactly what they were taking out off of my body. So when she says the women don't, it's not an easy decision, she's admitting that this is more than the people on the left, the pro-choice crowd, is trying to make it out to be.
All right. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more from Judd Garrett. His latest, and it's available at his website, objectivityistheobjective.com. Objectivityistheobjective.com. And his latest, Defending the Indefensible. Be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
In 1928, the familiar characters of Downton Abbey welcome a visiting group of Hollywood professionals who want to use their elegant premises as the location for a new silent films production. That's the basic setting for the rich and rewarding Downton Abbey, A New Era, now available for rent on multiple streaming services.
The modern world comes to Downton.
You steer ahead. You're the captain now.
Maybe, but the real star of the movie again is Maggie Smith as Lady Violet, who, in a puzzling subplot, receives an unexpected inheritance based on a long-ago secret romance. The cast is polished and accomplished as always, with the terrific new addition of Laura Haddock as an insecure but much-admired Hollywood silent star. The script bears unmistakable elements of soap opera, but the enchantment is still undeniable. Rated an appropriate PG, Downton Abbey, A New Era earns 3 stars and is still worth a visit.
Enjoy Tiki Live, the best cable alternative choice today, with hundreds of premium live TV programming, including ESPN, CNN, Fox News, Disney, AMC, Bravo, XF, OWN, and CRN Talk. Plus, no contracts and low month-to-month service. Tiki Live, servicing North America, including the Caribbean. To get started, visit TikiLive.com to order hundreds of channels, including CRN Talk, at a fraction of what you're paying today. Visit TikiLive.com. That's TikiLive.com.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Think of the many sacrifices it took to establish and to preserve liberty in the United States. Think of the many generations that went before us, that spilled blood to preserve that liberty, our freedoms. And look at how long it took, not very long, for us to lose many of those liberties. One flu season, together with lockdowns galore, and so many of those liberties just slipping away. In the United States today, we see an American government that is weakening abroad, even as it oppresses its people at home. We discuss this and so much more on our program, The Trumpet Daily. We're live weekday mornings at 11 a.m. Central Time in the United States. You can listen at CRN Digital Radio, Channel 3, or watch the live video stream at our website, thetrumpet.com.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder with my guest Judd Garrett, author of No Wind, father of six children, and we are talking about defending the indefensible. And you're saying that normally, you know, it's when you get to abortion, it's not an easy decision for a lot of people, and that it should be rare, and they should know that abortion is not an innocuous act, and the fetus is not a blob of cells. But they do it anyway, and I guess a lot of people just consider it a form of birth control. Have you seen the film The Silent Scream?
I have not.
All right, you need to check that out, Judd, because I'm going to tell you something. I've recommended to young people, you know, that if you're considering an abortion, just watch The Silent Scream. It was shocking, Judd. Because it was simply showing what is it called, the starships, you know, the claws that go in. There's a medical term for that. That where they can actually reach in and pull something out.
The forceps.
Forceps. Oh, thank you. Yes. It shows this baby that's about to be, you know, aborted, actually fighting the forceps.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. Had his or her little hands up there, you know, trying to push them away.
Oh, wow.
It'll make you think more than twice, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine. But, you know, that's what happens, you know, with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, you know, these, and that's the title of my piece is Defending the Indefensible. you know, the liberals and the pro-choice people have been able to hide behind Roe v. Wade and not have to defend their position because, you know, the Supreme Court had basically made it a protected right. And now that they overturned Roe v. Wade, all of these pro-choice activists have to defend the abortion, and it's an indefensible act. It's really hard to defend it, as you just pointed out with that movie. I mean, if you see a baby fighting against forceps and fighting for their life, I mean, you can't help but think that this is a living human being who wants to live.
Yeah, and I'm sure you know that most people, women are using it for a form of birth control. And you know what? If that's what you're into, don't worry, because, you know, California is going to take care of you. And we got all these companies that are going to pay you $4,000, you know, not to have your baby and stay at work so they don't lose any money. I mean, it's unbelievable. See these people. Go ahead.
How long does it take before women start gaming that situation? You know, if you're going to get $4,000 to have an abortion, and some women, I'm not going to say all of them, but some women may get pregnant on purpose just so they can have an abortion to get paid the $4,000.
I mean, it's get a small pillow and put it under your shirt.
Really.
Boy, I'm telling you. You say more sinister are the people who openly admit that abortion is evil, but they promote it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Hillary Clinton, when she was running for president in 2016, she was interviewed, and she said the unborn person doesn't have constitutional rights, and we shouldn't sacrifice a woman's right to make a decision for the life of the unborn child. And if you watch that interview, she refers to the unborn baby as a person, and she also calls it a child at two different times. So she's acknowledging with her language that this is a person, that this is a child, yet she still is in favor of the practice of killing that person or killing that child. I mean, that is even more sinister than, you know, what her husband, Bill Clinton, said he wanted a rare. So I think he kind of understands that this is a serious act. She's actually admitting what's happening, and she's still defending it.
Yeah, person and constitutional rights. And like you say, the unborn child, you know, the baby is a person and a child. It's sometimes they just do these stupid things, you know. And you know, normally before they release a press release, it's checked a couple of times. So not only does she miss it, everybody else does. And you say in the Roe versus Wade decision, the court referred to the unborn baby as a potential life. That also takes away just a blob of cells, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, they're trying to, you know, promote and say that this should be a legal act. They're trying to dance around the reality of it, so they call it a potential life, quote unquote. So they're kind of acknowledging that it's more than just a blob of cells, but they don't want to give it full personhood, so you can still go in and kill it.
Yeah.
And I drew the comparison to the 1857 Dred Scott decision when they're trying to defend the indefensible institution of slavery. So what do? They say that black people are three-fifths a person. So they're not given them full constitutional rights, which means they still can be slaves. They are acknowledging that maybe they're more than just animals, but they won't give them the full personhood. And in the Roe v. Wade decision, they called it potential life, again, refusing to give the baby full personhood so people can go in and kill the baby. So, again, they're dancing around. They're trying to defend this indefensible position, and you get into this really bad logic that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and a lot of these people throwing out that crappy logic, you kind of say, well, too bad they're parents didn't believe in abortion.
You know, no question.
Yeah, really. Mary Elizabeth Williams, she was a defender of abortion too, right? Back in 2013.
She wrote an article for Salon back in 2013, and And she just came out and said it. She said, so what if abortion ends life? I believe that life starts at conception, and it's never stopped me from being pro-choice. And then she went on to say, you know, the unborn baby is a life worth sacrificing. So that's even, you know, as we progress, you know, you go from Bill Clinton to Hillary Clinton. Now we're going to somebody who's just coming right out and saying that abortion is the ending of life, but she's defending it and supporting the act anyway.
Yeah, and sometimes you think that the Hollywood people, especially, you know, putting in their 2 cents, which is not worth hardly a half a penny, and you've got the daughter of Alex Baldwin, 26-year-old, what's her name, Ireland Baldwin. Is she the one that they had the screaming match on the telephone with?
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, where he was screaming at his daughter and his daughter was screaming back, and somehow it got taped. I don't know, but it was whenever he was doing some crazy stuff. But she's defended her decision to have an abortion, and she says, I choose me, and I would choose me again. It's your life. It's your choice. Wow. Just like you made that up, huh? And I keep saying over and over, Judd, to my listeners, you know, it's my body, my choice, right? That was part of their big hurrah during this whole thing. My body, my choice. But, boy, they didn't have the guts, most of them, to say that when it came to you have to get the shot.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely inconsistencies and there's definitely hypocrisy in what they're doing. And, again, you know, my body, my choice. Mm-hmm. I understand that, and I understand the want for that, but there's another body involved when it comes to abortion, and it's the baby's body. So, you know, they want total autonomy over what happens to their body. I understand that, but if that means killing another body, then we have to rethink the whole thing. So, and again, you know, to go back to the Ireland Baldwin statement, I choose me, I'll choose me again. You know, it's a high level of selfishness that we have in this country. You know, she's not considering what's right and wrong. She's only considering how it affects her. And to me, I see that as an offshoot of moral relativism that has become prominent in our culture. And also, you know, you hear a lot these days of speaking your own truth. Mm-hmm. Basically, I'm going to create a reality that best fits me, that best fits my life. So, again, she's not considering, you know, the baby and the life of the baby. She's only considering how it affects her, and that's what allows her to end up, you know, killing her own baby.
Yeah. And, of course, this has been on the mainstream of all the news recently, and you say the Senate Democrats introduced a bill. Let's see, it would make it a federal law to protect a woman's right to abortion up to the moment of birth. Wow.
Yeah, you know, yeah, right.
They're going to get their own private bodyguard? Is that that's how I read that?
Yeah, but I mean, right after the Roe v. Wade decision, the Democrats tried to push this legislation through, and, you know, it also included, you know, partial birth abortion, which basically is killing the baby moments before it's born. And I mean, if you think about it, 49 senators, which is 49% of the Senate, they all voted for it. So, I mean, this is where we are in the country. I mean, to me, that's a fringe idea. Partial birth abortion is a fringe idea. You know, 5% of the people believe in that. You know, that's understandable. But 49% of the Senate voted for that. It's a horrifying thing to think about.
Now, I know you're a man who gets around, and you know so much that's going on. So I'm waiting to get the answer of this. Let me see if I can find this. Response to the Dobbs ruling, okay. Women made it abundantly clear what abortion really always has been about, calling for abstinence and retaliation against men for the Dobbs decision. Trending on Twitter, all right, after the decision came down, pro-abortion women called for a sex strike. Does this mean that there was going to be a wide opening, so to speak, for prostitution? I mean, you cut your husband off. What do you know? Watch out. Because they're, yeah. It's like, wow. Sometimes well, they've got to think before they decide to strike, so to speak.
But again, they're once again, they're admitting what abortion is all about. I mean, mm-hmm. for years they've told us, oh, this is about, you know, the life of the mother, or, you know, young girls, you know, who are victims of rape or incest. You know, we're just protecting them. But that makes up less than 2% of all abortions. And, you know, immediately, you know, when the Roe v. Wade is overturned, they're talking about a sex strike. And that just tells me that abortion has always been about, you know, free sex, you know, no responsibility, with your sexual behavior, using abortion as a form of birth control. And what they're doing with the sex strike and things like that is just revealing that, you know, what abortion has always been about.
Yeah. But boy, when they play the card sex, here's one you mentioned in this report, 24-year-old abortion woman that was protesting on a Saturday. If you're a man who won't get a vasectomy, even though it's reversible, and you're not out in the streets fighting for my rights, then you don't deserve to have sex with me. Wow. That's almost, you know, and because I'm a, you know, every once in a while I get too much of a macho man here, you know. But I would just say, I didn't want to have sex with you anyway. I mean, you know, get a face job. Do it, you know, come back at him. Yes. Sounds like Biden talking here, doesn't it? Yes. Anyway.
Yeah, but again, yeah. I mean, that thing, and that's been the dramatic change in our culture over the last 50 years, is that, you know, to me, you know, the premarital and the promiscuous sex is so prevalent in our society, and that's what's causing, you know, the result of so many abortions being needed. And, you know, again, she's revealing, you know, you don't deserve to have sex with me. You know, mm-hmm. it really should be within the confines of a committed relationship or a marital relationship, in which case, you know, you wouldn't need to have an abortion.
Yeah, sounds like she's trying to blackmail him or something. I don't know. It's
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, you say it was first and foremost always about free sex, always about sex without responsibility, and always about wanting to use abortion as birth control. That was their mindset. And that is why there were so many unintended pregnancies, even with the advancement of birth control, because they were using abortion as their primary method of birth control. And it is amazing, you know, that with all the different things that, you know, can prevent you from getting pregnant, I would assume, and you know what that word, when you break it down, and there's a possibility there that I am associated with that anyway, I assume that most of these things that you buy to keep from getting pregnant are pretty reliable, and there's not too many side effects. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I think we've come to a point in our society where most of the birth control methods are very reliable, uh-huh. and there's not many negative side effects. So there's not a reason for people not to be using birth control. And, you know, it's interesting when the AIDS epidemic came out, you know, all they talked about was condoms, yeah. Will protect you. Now they're saying that, oh, well, they don't really protect you from pregnancy. So again, they're going to play either side of the issue, however it benefits them.
Well, as we get ready to go into this break, I say, look, if you take a contraceptive and all of a sudden it creates two heads, as in twins, they might turn out to be better than you think. Might turn out to have a president and a vice president. That would be possible, I think. But, you know, sometimes when I start thinking and it gets close to the end of the week, you just never know. Once again, a pleasure to have Judd Garrett. We're going to take a break, come back. Don't forget his book is No Wind, W-I-N-D, and you can get it at Amazon.com, No Wind. His website for all his excellent articles, objectivityistheobjective.com. Objectivityistheobjective.com. Be right back. We'll be right back.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vine-to-bar.com. That's vinetobar.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Colombo's. Colombo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Today, it seems so hard to enjoy just a little bit of easy. So much of life seems to get in the way. But fear not, seekers of fabulous food and fun and thrill, Colombo's is Southern California's answer to Easy Street. Great grub with some of the finest steaks, the freshest fish awaiting for you to devour. Did I mention Colombo's family Italian recipes? Colombo's spaghetti bolognese, their chicken pesto ravioli, magnifico, and of course, the world's greatest meatballs. I can go on. But why go on when you can go on over to Colombo's and experience delicious and easy for yourself. Colombo's, of course, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Colombo's, mangia bene.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder with Judd Garrett, and discussing his latest, Defending the Indefensible. You know, and like, some people like different flavors of ice cream, you know, and that's their big deal. And but you say, people on the right who promote abstinence do so because they believe it is the right and moral way to live their life. It sanctifies the sexual act as an expression of love within marriage, instead of diminishing it into a game played with strangers. And as you mentioned in the paragraph before, lots and lots of women are using abortion as their form of birth control. And, you know, my goodness, that's caring about as far as you can go.
Yeah, I mean, they're half the women who have abortions have already had a previous abortion, so
yeah.
It's almost as if that's their approach, is that they're going to do whatever they want, and if they get pregnant, then they're just going to go and have an abortion. And you know, the movement that's going through social media right now, it's called Shout Your Abortion Movement.
Yeah.
It's people who are proud that they had an abortion, proud that they killed their unborn baby.
You know, and I've brought this up before on my show that it seems like, and I know, that adoption is very, very difficult. And you just want to, you don't want to just throw some kids into an unknown family. I realize that. But it seems like there are so many strings that you've got to pull now to adopt a child. And I'm just wondering if it'd be, I mean, it has to be better than abortion, you know, no matter who gets hold of them.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's better for everybody. Obviously, it's better for the child because they get to live a full life, and obviously, it's better for the childless couple who wants to have a baby but can't have for whatever reason. It benefits them, and I think it would be beneficial for the mother. It's better to bring life in the world and give another person life than to kill it. So I think it's better for everybody.
You know, and I understand, you know, if I've had guests on before that have talked about abortion. I also had some very good friends that they couldn't have a child, you know, and so there was a couple that weren't married and they were having a baby and the baby was born and they were going to adopt it. And all of a sudden, now they're in love, you know, so the whole thing was just, you know, down the tubes. And that's very, disappointing for the person that went through all the hoops and, you know, everything else to try to get a child. It just seems that there's got to be a better way. And I'm hoping that even with excellent articles like this that point out so many things, you know, that'll change somebody's mind. Go ahead.
I think people need to start talking honestly about abortion, and once we start doing it, then a better way will be formed. But as long as we're lying about it and using euphemisms, you know, we're not going to find that better way.
Well, I'll tell you, you got six kids, and apparently we know where you stand on this, all right? So that's great. What was I going to tell you? Oh, yes, I was going to give you a little football note real quick in the college scene. I guess you heard that UCLA and USC both have dropped out of the Pac-12, so they're going to be going into the Big Ten. Kind of interesting there, you know, and so I guess now some of these other Pac-12 teams will finally say, hey, we have a chance. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so things are going. Go ahead.
How many teams are now in the Big Ten, like 16?
Yeah, and I think, though, maybe one or two are moving into something else, another league. So maybe that's why they had an opening. I'm not sure. I just got part of the story there. I do that a lot. Hey, Judd, certainly appreciate it, sir. Look forward to our next visit.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Objectivity is objective.com. Judd Garrett. G-A-R-R-E-T-T. We'll be right back.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio. Chuck Wilder here, Swade at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Another reminder now, on July 4th, the Best of Talk Back with Alex Newman and Leo Homan. Hey, right now I want to home in on my guest, Selwyn Duke. He's writer for The New American. He's also contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Synage Learning. He appears on many television and frequent guest on radio shows. His website is selwynduke.com. Ladies and gentlemen, right now, here comes the Duke.
Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, 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 Duke.
You know, I just realized, hey, Selwyn, how are you doing, by the way?
Not bad, Chuck. I'm just sitting here on this 89-degree day, soon to be in the 90s, I think, in my nice air-conditioned room. How are you?
Thanks a lot. You know, I got one little tiny fan here just kind of going back and forth.
It's
on the right, now it's on the left. You know, I was saying,
is that
and
how
now, ladies,
California?
Huh? I'm sorry?
Is that how it is in California? They won't allow you to have air conditioning now? All you can have is a fan?
No, no, no. You can have anything you want as long as you have money. Why, when, you know, I'll tell you, you know, when I was at Newsom's house the other day, yeah, I wished I would have brought my jacket, you know? Yeah, really. what was
bicycle performing.
I lost my line of thought. Oh, yes, I know what it was. And I said, and now, ladies and gentlemen, the Duke. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I should have said, and now they, here comes the Duke. They is pretty safe, isn't it, whenever you're using identities to recognize people? Hey, how are they doing? There's only one of me, but you're a they because you don't, I don't know what you are. So, golly, unbelievable.
Yeah. You know,
unbelievable.
The worst thing, Chuck, is when you can't remember someone's name. That happens sometimes, but you know what Andre the Giant did? You remember him, Andre the Giant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
His technique was he just called everyone boss. He said, hey, boss. And that's a good idea. That's how you get around it.
Oh, yeah. But see, if I did that, I'd say Chuck Wilder here and the boss at the network, you know. And then Suede would just do whatever he wanted to do, you know. And I'd say, oh, my goodness, when are you going to play my break music? You know, stuff like that. So got to be careful.
Oh, okay. I see. Well, hey, yeah. Everything is pitfalls, right?
Yes. You know, I got to tell you something on the subject, okay, of abortions. Your latest, and I want to just tell me if I'm wrong, it's entitled, listener, you haven't heard this, I don't think, anyway, Big Business is Funding Americans, Killing Their Kids, and Then Replacing Them with Aliens. Now, you may have heard that about 3 days ago, something like that, there was another swarm of UFOs that were all around the Navy ships in San Diego. You know, that should be major headlines. I think there were about 12 of them this time. And I said, holy moly, the Duke here, Selwyn Duke, Big Business Funding Americans, Killing Other Kids, and Then Replacing Them with Aliens. And I said, I'm going to read this one. But, yeah, I got it now. You know, it didn't take me long because, you know, when this story first came out that you're reporting on here, and I've touched on it a few times, this is the $4,000 payoff and a way for businesses to save money where, you know, if the employee comes in pregnant and instead of having the baby, we'll just pay $4,000 to stay here. And they're going to make out because they don't have to pay all that, whatever it's called, pregnant term leave or whatever. And I was wondering, you know, whoever it was, Buttigieg, I wonder if he kind of gave him that idea, you know, because he was off for a long time there when his other, had the baby that they had to rent or buy, whatever the case was, because they're, But there's, and there's a lot of big names on here, and it makes you want to, you know, say, boy, I'm not going to watch Netflix anymore. Oh, yeah. But we'll get to the whole thing. It's 1, 2, 3. The fourth column down, listener, is a long list here. Not too long, though. I mean, it could be longer. Of the companies that will now pay the pregnant, I almost said pregnant lady, the pregnant they. I'm not going to fall for that. The pregnant broad, anyway, they're going to give her $4,000. That means she'll get $1,000. The husband will get $3,000. But he did all the work, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Well,
I don't know.
I'll tell you, though, Chuck. I'll tell you.
You have an excellent column that'll just make up everything that I just said. We'll get it straightened out here. Dick's Sporting Goods. We start with Dick's first, okay? Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we're joking about this, and you have to maintain a sense of humor, but really, it's a very, very dark topic, and it concerns the culture of death that's been intensifying for many, many decades in the West. And Dick's Sporting Goods, this was in the news recently, Chuck, people heard that they will pay up to $4,000 toward the travel expenses of any employee who thinks that she needs to go out of state to get an abortion. And, of course, this is in the wake of the Roe v. Wade ruling where it was struck down. And, of course, Roe v. Wade should have been struck down. That was the correct determination. But Dick's Sporting Goods is not alone. I mean, more than 25 huge companies have followed suit. And when I say more than, I don't think we know the exact number. But the bottom line is there are a lot of them. Now, at the same time, though, and this is what I pointed out in my article because other people didn't tie these two things together, corporate America is also encouraging immigration and even illegal migration. So in other words, as they're encouraging Americans not to procreate, not to replicate themselves, they're trying to replace Americans. Oops, I used that term, replace. with foreigners, okay? And then, of course, but don't talk about the Great Replacement, because, you know, if you talk about the Great Replacement, then you've got to be a white supremacist. That's some kind of conspiracy theory, even though the left was the one, the leftists were the ones, I should say, who originated that whole idea and who were talking about it. The New York Times, even, I think it was, had an article titled, "We Can Replace Them." But anyway, let's go on with this. So Dix is offering this $4,000 death benefit, or you could maybe call it a killing benefit, Chuck, and it'll support your travel expenses to go out of state to get an abortion and also the expenses of one support person, as they put it. I guess not a support animal, a support person, although
and
in
listen,
the left
when I read that travel, when I read about them traveling, Selwyn, so
yeah.
Is it now going to be $8,000, $4,000 for her and $4,000 for him?
No. Actually, it's $4,000 altogether. But I guess maybe someone who lives in Ohio could say he's going to go to Ohio, to Hawaii to have an abortion. Who knows?
California is supposed to I was be just number gonna... one. You might want to leave that, you know, keep that in mind. Newsom said we're going to become the number one place to have an abortion. And you get a limo and all this. I mean, it's unbelievable. And you already know that, I think, so there. But see, $4,000 death benefit also cover the travel of one support person. So I'm wondering, you know, I guess the $4,000 is the payoff, so to speak, and maybe for the support person it's $500, $1,000. You know what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah. Yeah, well, okay. Absolutely. But you know, the CEO of Dix, Lauren Hobart, she actually said, well, we're going to offer this to all employees, quote, who live in states with abortion restrictions so they can choose what is best for them. And as we said, there are other companies that have adopted these policies, Chuck, and here's just a short list. Starbucks, Tesla, Yelp, Airbnb, Microsoft, Netflix, Patagonia, DoorDash, JP Morgan Chase, Levi Strauss, PayPal, Amazon, Reddit, Walt Disney Company, Meta, and Condé Nast. That's according to the New York Times. And most of them have tried to keep this on the down low, Chuck. They haven't really made any official statements about the matter, except for Levi Strauss. Levi Strauss actually called on business leaders to take a stand against the ruling. They said, quote, "Protection of reproductive rights is a critical business issue impacting our workforce, our economy, and progress toward gender and racial equity. Given what is at stake, business leaders need to make their voices heard." So that's Levi Strauss, which, of course, I haven't patronized in a very long time, and I'm going to continue my boycott.
Yeah,
don't wear
any under, Levi's and stuff like that. Yes, you know the other company that surprised me, because I'd read an article that Walt Disney Company had said we realize we made a mistake because they lost so many stockholders, you know, whenever they went with their whole wokeness thing, but now here they go. You know, I don't know what it is. I think somebody else is controlling Walt Disney Company. Seriously.
Yeah. Well, I think this gets back to, Chuck, what you and I have discussed in the past, perhaps, how BlackRock, in particular, I'd say, but entities like that, are using woke capital to enforce this politically correct agenda upon other companies. Remember that they actually say to these companies in so many words, if you don't implement these woke policies, well, we're not going to give you funding. So that's part of what's going on behind the scenes, I understand. But anyway, so we might ask, looking at all of this, Chuck, well, the problem is, I guess, from the corporate standpoint, if you believe the people who maybe you're saying there's something more behind this. Well, if women are at home tending to babies, they're not going to be out in the corporate world being little busy worker bees, right? But then you have to ask, well, if fertility craters, where are future workers going to come from? Well, corporate America, guess what, has that covered. Remember, they are encouraging immigration, and Breitbart reported on this last year on this U.S. Chamber of Commerce virtual conference. It was July 22nd of last year, and Mary Beth Seewald, she is the CEO of the Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce. She said, according to Breitbart, immigrants, not Americans, built the U.S. and are the foundation of this country. And she also advocated for amnesty and more legal immigration. She said, the Seewald character, Chuck, It, quote, is absolutely vital, unquote, to the post-pandemic recovery, okay? All right, now on top of this, businesses, this was for this year, actually, I believe, are looking to outsource nearly 310,000 high-skilled jobs through the H-1B visa program, to quote Breitbart there. And there are similar trends, Breitbart says, occurring with low-skilled jobs, quote, where there has been a 60% spike over the last 4 years in the number of foreign H-2A visa workers that U.S. farms have sought to import.
Yeah, and, you know, one would wonder, you know, like so many of these companies, you know, that are doing this this whole thing, it's like you got to train a lot of these, you know, these people have to go to college, you know, to get a lot of these jobs. And whenever you're bringing people in, you know, the immigrants and letting them come across the border, I don't think there's a huge percentage of those, Selwyn, that, you know, have college experience.
No, no, there aren't. But that's why they have these H-1B visas that they use to import high-skilled labor, for instance, from India. A lot of these people do come from India. And then they supplant high-skilled American workers, and this happens because the companies can pay these third-world workers a lot less money. It really is criminal, and it's an abuse of the program. It's contrary, actually, to the principles of the program, which state that these visas are only supposed to be used if you don't have American workers to fill the given positions.
Well, I'll tell you one thing as we go into this break. Chuck Wilder might have really been on something when I was talking about, you know, the aliens from these spaceships. Yeah, because artificially, you know, these intelligent robots and stuff, maybe that's who's flying those. And then maybe they'll say, yeah, I want to go down and work for Levi Strauss or whatever, right? DoorDash, Netflix, Microsoft, Amazon, Walt Disney. I think Walt Disney already has some there, by the way. Selwyn Duke's going to return in just a moment with more on this excellent article.
Hi, everyone. Michael Horn from MyPillow.com. Head to MyPillow.com and get in on the My Slippers special. Just $49.98 with your promo code HORN. The most comfortable slippers ever. Hurry. Supplies are limited. Save $90 and get My Slippers for $49.98 with the promo code HORN. Plus, buy one, get one free pillows, and buy one towel set, get a second towel set free. Towels that really work. Save $90 on My Slippers, just $49.98, and get in on the buy one, get one free towel sets and pillows. Go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code HORN. That's MyPillow.com, promo code HORN. Horn, or call 800-889-6959, 800-889-6959. That's 800-889-6959.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book,
I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. His website, pardon me, SelwynDuke.com, SelwynDuke.com, discussing big business is funding America's killing of their kids and then replacing them with aliens. And please continue there, Selwyn.
Yeah, sure, Chuck, sure. So we were talking about that and how big business is encouraging immigration and amnesty and how they're using all these visas to import workers, even though a lot of Americans need work. And understand when I say that, that we have 94 million Americans outside the labor force. What this means is that, and this is a fact, Gallup actually some years ago, the president of it, I believe, wrote an article about this. The unemployment numbers are completely and totally cooked. They're invalid. For one thing, they don't include in those numbers, Chuck, people who've dropped out of the labor force because they've given up looking for work. They don't even count them in the numbers. So the unemployment rate, the actual one, is a lot higher than the official one. So you've got that. You've also got the fact that continually we'll read articles about how artificial intelligence, Chuck, and robotics are going to replace more and more workers in the coming decades. So the whole idea that we need to import a lot of low-skilled workers is just ridiculous all the way around. But, you know, it's interesting because we were saying that a lot of people don't think that this convergence of these abortionist and immigrationist passions is a coincidence, okay? Tucker Carlson was talking about this the other night, and he was using a lot of sarcasm. What he said was, yeah, you know, they're doing this. This is the progressive philosophy, not just because they believe in it, but because they'd rather pay employees, he said, quote, $4,000 for every abortion they have. That is cheaper than parental leave or health care. Babies are expensive. It's a lot cheaper to get rid of them, concluded the HR department at Dick's Sporting Goods. It's a highly progressive movement. When you have to bribe employees not to have their own family, what you're really doing is liberating them. So, you know, that certainly is a factor, Chuck, because the bottom line is when it comes to business, especially when it comes to corporations, which have to answer to shareholders, you know they're always looking at the bottom line. I mean, people will talk about how corporations before World War II were breaking bread with the Nazis. Well, the truth is, they always do that. They always go towards the path of least resistance and most profit. That's just the way it is. Yeah.
Do you think this is going to have a major impact, say, on Starbucks, Tesla, Microsoft, Netflix, J.P. Morgan, Levi Strauss, PayPal, Amazon, Walt Disney? Do you think people are going to know it? Because they're not going to put a sign up at the gate when you come in, you know, right? Work here because we'll pay for your abortion. It's, you know, you just hope it gets out more, you know. And thank God you have it on your website, you know, so that, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you do hope it gets out more. I mean, listen, I would say, I think I'm correct about this, Chuck, that the history of conservative boycotts is not very encouraging because it's hard to keep them going because the mainstream media are not on our side. It would be different if the mainstream media were broadcasting all of this and bringing these companies to their knees, but it doesn't, so most people don't know about these problems, or even if they do, they forget about them over time. So really the only way that something like this, Chuck, has an effect is if people come to feel very negatively on an emotional level about a company, because you see, that's something they don't have to remember. That's emotional. then every time they see the company, they have that emotional reaction, that visceral aversion. So I don't know if that's happening with Walt Disney to some extent.
I was going to say, out of all of these companies, Starbucks, I know a lot about their history, and about how even made statements. I don't care, if any American comes in here ever, blah, 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 and military person and blah, blah, blah. But I think the only ones that I've ever seen really work, it seems, was whenever people were saying, we're not going to have the American flag on display. And that kind of gets to a lot of people. But this, you've really got to, listen to programs like this or really do your research to find out who are the people, that don't mind abortions, whatever side you're on. And, so here it is, the bottom of the hour break. Boy, it's going fast today, isn't it? I don't quite
really
understand.
Yeah, it really is. We're having fun. Time's flying.
I think you're talking faster than usual. That's what it is. No. Selwyn Duke, always a pleasure to have Selwyn here. And I'm going to tell you, go to that website, selwynduke.com, and read all of his great ones. And this is going to go on, too, because we're going to talk more about Roe and Wade and, it just will not go away, but at least you're getting it here. Selwyn Duke, D-U-K-E, selwynduke.com.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Enjoy Tiki Live, the best cable alternative choice today, with hundreds of premium live TV programming, including ESPN, CNN, Fox News, Disney, AMC, Bravo, XF, OWN, and CRN Talk. Plus, no contracts and low month-to-month service. Tiki Live, servicing North America, including the Caribbean. To get started, visit TikiLive.com to order hundreds of channels, including CRN Talk, at a fraction of what you're paying today. Visit TikiLive.com. That's TikiLive.com.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flare, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef. Broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at rootschris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, and the website selwynduke.com. You know, and it's very interesting, the wrap-up of this article that we're talking about. You say, when you love someone, your main concern is that they never reproduce, that they never create more human beings just like them. That's a sign of love. And then you have a video on that, right?
Right, yeah, yeah. That was our friend Tucker Carlson being a bit sarcastic, and yeah, rightfully yeah. so. And, you know, then I provided some historical perspective, Chuck.
Yes,
I said,
which I'd love.
This is
Go
just.
Ahead.
Yeah, this is just big business, really, responding to the culture, to cultural imperatives that determine what you have to do in order to turn a profit. And, you know, there was a time, Chuck, as you know, when businesses would actually construct company towns, like Kohler, Wisconsin. That's a good example. Now, some turned out to be somewhat exploitative, but they often also did provide a good lifestyle for the workers. And what happened back then was that these companies might be in remote locations in the late 19th century. So since they weren't in a city, they had to build a city, so to speak, around the company. That's what they would do. And they would bring workers there. And then the workers, of course, would bring their families and kids. And the companies would often provide everything these people needed. And it was a given back then that the men who would be working would be married and would have kids. So the companies
right.
facilitated all of that.
But you know, now, someone, of course. And I wanted to tell you yeah. because I was raised in a town sort of like that. Most people think about that, you know, the ones where the mining companies, remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my father worked for El Paso Natural Gas Company, okay, and it was located in the Permian Basin, all right, and we had, you know, all the gas wells and oil rigs and all this stuff, right? But the town had camps all around the town where they had gas refineries, and they would have, like, four different camps, right, with all the houses, with all the children, you know, and the tennis courts and all this stuff. And then they had the one major general camp there, and that's where I live because my father was a little bit higher up, you know. But you're right. And it, you know what, and it was great because, you know, you had your football team and all this stuff, and it was that people knew that that was the number one company in town, and that town really took care of you. We actually had tennis courts, I just want you to know, and we also had a golf course. Yeah, and do you remember Kathy Whitworth, the famous golfer?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Yeah, well, she was an instructor when I was going to school for golf, and then she went on, you know, to great heights and everything. But little bitty town of about, you know, 2,500 people. So there you go. Company towns were good. I just want you to know, and I don't know if anybody had ever had an abortion. So there.
Right. Well, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that, Chuck, explains how you became an expert golfer, huh? I never knew. But anyway.
Yeah, really.
But like I said, back then, because of cultural imperatives, the companies had to facilitate that. And abortion back then was beyond consideration, so they weren't going to facilitate that. But now things have changed, and I'm going to read the second to last, actually two last paragraphs of my article, because I think I wrote it a lot better than I could ever say it. Quote, but with women liberated from the home and into worker drone, and with abortion in some quarters exalted, culture of death policies can now pay, after all. Cheaper than a child's expenses from birth to baccalaureate to business world is just importing grown third worlders who will toil on the cheap. And what if it means the demise of America as we know it 20 years hence? Well, a CEO knows that by that time he'll be rich, retired, and reclining or recreating on a beach somewhere, far from the land whose bones he picked clean.
Excellent, yeah.
And that's all she wrote?
Yeah.
And no, I'm not identifying as a woman. That's all she wrote, though.
That's all they wrote, yes. Oh, they. Yeah. So who does he work with? No, I'm just being, you know, there it is again. They say you're safe if you say they. Call it, refer to them as they. No, you're not. Yeah. We have two more that you did, and the last one also involves Tucker Carlson's misguided attack on Republicans. But on Roe, whoa. Yeah, you want to get into this one here? Manchin, Collins,
yeah, I think so.
Oath. Yeah, let's do that one, okay? Go ahead.
Yeah, this is an important topic. It really is.
Yes.
Well, you know, we saw that Roe was aborted. That's how I put it. And in the wake of that, we've seen liberal politicians, Chuck, like Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Susan Collins of Maine. Susan Collins is, of course, a Republican. Well, they're crying foul because they say that SCOTUS Justices Brett Kavanaugh and Neil Gorsuch deceived them. How? Well, over stare decisis, and that's respect for precedent. And this happened during the confirmation hearings, these senators aver. Well, here's what no one points out. Stare decisis is itself a deception. And let me tell you something. Our founding fathers would have been absolutely aghast at the whole principle. Okay, now why? Well, it's very, very simple. I explain it in my article. If a precedent, let's first of all understand what stare decisis is. That's the whole idea that you're supposed to look at precedents and say, well, this is how the court has ruled, so we really shouldn't overturn that because we've got to maintain this continuity. Okay, but here's the thing. If a precedent clearly conforms to the Constitution, Chuck, then you don't have to have regard for stare decisis to have a precedent-aligned ruling. All you have to do then is reference the Constitution, and what's going to happen? Well, you'll incidentally vote in accordance with the precedent, right? Okay. But what if the precedent doesn't conform to the Constitution? Well, then it's illegal by definition, and then it should be overturned. And in that case, well, a justice is going to do that, vote in that fashion, if he again references the Constitution. So my point is here, Chuck, that exalting stare decisis serves no legitimate purpose whatsoever. The people who do it in general do it because they don't like what the Constitution dictates, but they also know that they couldn't amend the Constitution in a way that accords with their wishes, because to do that, you've got to get the people's consent. Very difficult to do. So instead, they uphold this ridiculous and convenient notion of precedent. In other words, the idea that the will of a handful of judges should supersede what is the supreme law of the land, the Constitution.
Let me tell you real quick, Selwyn, that when I read this, you know what popped into my little tiny brain? It was like, let's say, a football game or a baseball game, right? A football game where the referees kept calling the wrong call. But then you would say, well, I don't want to change it because it's become a precedent, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. You just can't live
and
that way.
And that accords with, with an analogy that I often use. But, you know, as I put it in my article, it's no wonder Justice Clarence Thomas said last month, actually it was the month before last now, about precedent. He said, quote, "I always say that when someone uses stare decisis, that means they're out of arguments." Absolutely correct. And that's another example of how he is the best justice we've had in many decades. But anyway, here's the point that I made that is unique in this article. Here's what hasn't been said. When these two senators, Manchin and Collins, complain that they were deceived by Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, well, guess what? They're living in glass houses with millimeter-thick walls because they are violating their oaths. Now, why do I say that? Well, when they assumed office, Chuck, they took an oath to uphold the Constitution. They did not take an oath to uphold precedent. And here's the thing. So when they make adherence to stare decisis a prerequisite for a justice being confirmed to the Supreme Court, what they're doing is they're seeking to ensure that their chosen justices are going to place precedent before the Constitution. And that means they are violating their oath of office by proxy. That's what they're doing. Now, on top of that, they violate their oath of office continually because most all these politicians propose and vote for legislation that is contrary to the Constitution.
And, you know,
but
Selwyn,
that's
the
actually
one we
a
just
separate
signed,
matter.
The one they just, you know, put in yesterday or the day before, whatever, the lady is now, I was,
I was
watching the, you know, the signing in and the Constitution. Boy, they mentioned that so many times. And I said, and she's saying, I swear to uphold the Constitution, uphold the Constitution. But once you get in there and sit down, I guess it changes, huh?
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. And it's disgusting, and really it should be grounds for impeachment. I would say that any justice who's going to say that he's not an originalist, and we use the term originalist, but that's just another way of saying a justice who's going to do his job, which is to rule based on the Constitution. Any judge who says something contrary to that, like, for instance, I'm a pragmatist, should automatically be disqualified. That should be grounds, actually, for impeachment. And I mean that very sincerely, because the judge is literally saying that he's not willing to do his job. Okay. Now, as I point out in my article, this doesn't mean that you can never, ever look at precedent. When is it legitimate? Well, if you're a judge and you're genuinely unsure of what the Constitution dictates in a certain area, then sure, you can look at precedent, but that is, in that case, is just going to be part of an investigation of history. That's all, where you're trying to glean wisdom from the past. It's not, though, that stare decisis or precedent in that event is going to be some constraining stricture upon you. Okay, now moving on, understand, what about this near deification of precedent that we call stare decisis? Well, understand this, it's a con. It's absolutely a con, because you'll hear things like, well, Roe v. Wade, that's precedent. It's unassailable because it's been in place for 49 years. But wait a second. What about the fact that not having Roe and leaving abortion to the states was precedent for the better part of 200 years before then? What about that? What about this? What about Plessy v. Ferguson? That was the separate but equal opinion. Well, that chuck was precedent for 58 years until we had Brown v. Board of Education, I think in 1954. Should that have been respected and kept in place? I would ask this of Senators Manchin and Collins. You know, it's ridiculous. And think about this. This is how I put it in further perspective, okay? You can have a precedent like marriage being a state matter for more than 200 years, right? That was our precedent. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, you have these five long-in-the-tooth, black-robed lawyer zealots on the Supreme Court in 2015. They get caught up in sexual fashions. They get it into their heads that they should impose what they think is a good, and they completely violate that standard. They gave us Obergefell v. Hodges, again, in 2015. And we're supposed to respect this? We're supposed to say, oh, it's precedent now? Why? No. The people on the left never respect precedent when the precedent is contrary to their agenda. The truth is, the Supreme Court has reversed itself over the course of our history, Chuck, 145 times. 145 times. So don't tell me there's this regard for stare decisis. The only reason why we're hearing about it now is this. The left wouldn't have valued precedent, Chuck, ages ago, because back then court rulings were in general, you might say, more traditionalist in orientation. So it wouldn't have served the left's ends to have regard for it. But now what's happened? Well, we've had years and years of judicial activism, right, which has delivered a plethora of decisions, left-wing decisions, that promote the left-wing agenda. So now what do we hear? We hear, oh, no, 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 you can't touch these judicial opinions. It's stare decisis today, stare decisis tomorrow, stare decisis forever. Yeah, right. It's a big con, like I said. And, you know, something else occurred to me, Chuck, while I was pondering this actually a couple of hours ago. It's interesting. I would have put this in the article had I thought about it at the time. But this is also another function of elevating man above things that are objective and eternal. Like, for instance, you know what occurs to me here? Chuck, in churches, old churches, there's a choir loft up above very often, and that's where the choir used to be, behind and above the congregation. And it could be beautiful because if they did a good job, it was as if these voices, this singing, was coming down from heaven itself. But now very often you have the choir in front of the church. And I've heard the criticism that this is a function of too many people wanting to be the center of attention, wanting to make themselves and not higher things, God in the case of church, the center. Okay, well, this is the same sort of thing. If you think about it, the Constitution is supposed to be the focus here. But when you make stare decisis more and more the focus, precedent more and more the focus, okay, which, of course, is generated by men, what you're doing is you're making man more and more the focus, not the hopefully eternal principles that are articulated in the Constitution. No, man. Yeah. And what is this a function of? I think it's vanity to a great extent. It's narcissism. These judges, like too many other people, want to be the center of attention. They want to be the focus. And when that happens, what you'd have is not so much the rule of law, but the rule of lawyers. You become less and less a nation of laws and more a nation of men. And that's very, very dangerous. And that's something I would have mentioned in my article.
Yeah. But you did mention, you know, they're demanding that judges become proxies for their constitutional trespass. Yeah. And it's almost like the choir, right? I mean, all of a sudden, no, we got to be the main thing here. We are so important. Yes, that's why we get to sit very close up front whenever they have the State of the Union address. Yeah. We're right up there. But they never sing.
They don't even give us some good tunes, right?
I don't know
how much time we have, but you know, what I was saying
seconds.
In my piece is. When you have these confirmation hearings, you're going to see these left-wing senators sit there sanctimoniously, self-righteously asking these prospective judges, are you going to uphold stare decisis? Well, the onus belongs on these senators themselves because, like you said, they're demanding that these judges become proxies for their own constitutional trespass. And that alone should disqualify them from office, to be frank.
Fantastic. And perfect timing from the one and only Selwyn Duke. How do you spell that? T-H-A-T. No, I'm sorry. D-U-K-E. Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. His website, selwynduke.com. Go there because I'm telling you. And you get a lot of good videos usually whenever he posts a story, too, because he doesn't take the shortcut. And we're going to be right back, wrap things up with Selwyn Duke. That's selwynduke.com.
Experiencing pain, back pain, shoulder, elbow, or hand pain, pain from a sports injury? If so, schedule a visit with Dr. Michael Sheps, the leading expert in laser therapy for pain management. Call 310-873-4422 or go to drsheps.com. Experience Epic T, the breakthrough laser therapy system that Dr. Sheps developed to make you pain-free in less time. Laser therapy is a non-invasive, safe, and effective in-office procedure that penetrates deep into your skin without damaging the tissue. It perfectly targets areas of pain to promote fast, natural healing. Relax your muscles, ease muscle spasms, joint stiffness, and arthritis pain while increasing blood circulation. For over 25 years, Dr. Sheps has helped Olympic athletes and sports enthusiasts alike get back in the game. Schedule your visit with Dr. Sheps at his Brentwood office in California. Call 310-873-4422 or visit drsheps.com. That's drsheps.com, 310-873-4422.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Now you can get generic Viagra shipped to your door for about $2 a pill. Get the same impact for less. Call Steel Man Pills now and get the same blue pill for about $2 a pill. Call now for the 50-pill special and save even more. Plus, get a free bonus.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
This is Michael Medved, and my fiercely independent talk show will bring you the latest news and uncensored views from politics to pop culture. It's all there. And we want you to be part of the conversation. You can call us directly at 1-800-955-1776. That's every weekday afternoon from noon to 3 on CRN1.
Join Michael Medved weekdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on CRN.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, selwynduke.com. This article entitled Tucker Carlson's Misguided Attack on Republicans. A lot of interesting stuff here about the Supreme Courts and all that. You say here, perhaps most notable, all five Supreme Court justices who voted to overturn the unconstitutional, nation-rending Roe versus Wade opinion were appointed by Republicans. Three out of four voting unconstitutionality were Democratic choices. That's why it's so important to, not add people. You know how even Biden has mentioned, Selwyn, about... we need a bigger Supreme Court, and I think maybe even Trump might have mentioned it once or twice, but leave it like it is, and so far it's kind of worked out all right, and normally we turn things around whenever people finally get fed up with something they shouldn't have done, like Roe versus Wade.
Right. Right. Well, actually, it's funny because people understand civics now so poorly, Chuck, that you see the polls indicate anyway that a lot of Americans are very disenchanted with the court, and actually their feelings should be just the opposite, because now we finally have a court that by and large is functioning as it should. More and more it's ruling based on the Constitution. Did that with Roe v. Wade, did that with that ruling pertaining to the EPA regulations having to do with carbon dioxide. I mean, the role of the court, like you said, is just to call balls and strikes. And I always analogize it like this. You could say it's like in baseball, okay? The judges are like the umpires. The players and the fans are akin to the people, okay? And the ruling body is like the legislature. And the rule book is the Constitution, okay? Now, the umpires are on the field. Their job is only to apply that rule book, the rules, whether they like the rules or not. Okay, they can't say, we think this batter needs help, so now actually he gets four strikes. They can't do that. No, if they try to do that, we'll be the first to say these are terrible umpires and they need to be fired. In fact, a riot might ensue. But we tolerate this with judges all the time. Okay, the baseball analogy again. If you think the rules of baseball are insufficient, well, the fans or the players, they can petition the ruling body of baseball to change them. But that's how it's done. Now, in our political system, we call this the amendment process. That's how you change the Constitution. If you think it's lacking in some way and you need it to, quote, come to life, you make it live via the amendment process. Otherwise, it is set in stone and the judges have an obligation to abide by it because it is the contract that the American people have with one another. And you can't allow people to violate a contract to benefit themselves because that hurts everyone else subject to the contract.
Yeah.
That's how it's supposed to work.
Well, and, and the whole thing with the abortion ruling, it's not the end of the world if you're all for abortion, because right now it's going to be up to the states the way it should have been in the first place. And there's going to be so many states where you can go, no problem. And you're not going to be locked up because your state voted no abortions, and you know what I'm saying? And you go to the
right
place where you can,
right,
and it's still America. I'm just thankful we didn't get Mr. Merrick Garland on the Supreme Court.
Gosh, he's the worst. He's the worst.
And I think Tucker Carlson was pointing out all the people he's been arresting, the Attorney General? Oh, goodness. It's like we're in Russia almost, huh? Yes. All right. Selwyn, thank you very much. Have a very good 5th. I'm always saying that. Have a very good 4th of July.
You too, Chuck. God bless. God bless.
God bless you. Hey, thank you very much, Slade. Thank you for listening, and God bless the United States of America.